forgot to introduce when we welcomed earlier, but I forgot to introduce some dear friends of Julie's and mine. We've known them for many years, and they happen to be with us tonight, but they also happen to be the ministry leaders for the mission that Julie and I serve with, called Be One Together, and that's Mike and Mary Pinkerton over here on my right, and they are, as I said, the ministry leaders for our mission with Be One Together, so it's nice to have them with us. Thank you guys for being a part of us tonight. If you are second grade and younger, Miss Donna is ready for you. If you are third grade, yeah, Jeff, you got to stay. If you are third through fifth grade, Miss Rebecca is ready for you to head back to class for you. So feel free to make your way. If you have a Bible, kids, make sure you take your Bible with you. And we're going to do it. We're going to come back in a few minutes and do, we're changing things up tonight. We're going to do the last two songs that we have for tonight at the end of the message. So we're going to give our worship team a break to do that. I forgot to communicate that well to them. I've changed the order of service three times today, so it's bound to change again. That's the way I operate, in a very flexible way that way. We've been walking through in the last, imagine this, February 7th was our first service, right? February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and we're into what? November. What happened to the thing? 10 months we've been meeting. 10 months we've been walking through the book of Acts. And during those 10 months, one of the things that keeps coming up to me in my own study, one of the things that keeps coming up in conversations with others, is we talk about the Holy Spirit. And last week, we started a little bit of that. We started a little bit to begin to talk about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? Why is it that for some of us, we never learned about the Holy Spirit? Why is there such, in some cases, in some climate spiritually, a division when it comes to speaking of the Holy Spirit? There's a number of things that have happened. But I keep coming back to the one thing that I feel very strongly and passionate about. And that is, what does this book say about the Holy Spirit? And as interesting as I was prepping for it the week before, and then did some review the last couple of days since we've been back from Portugal, is that the Holy Spirit, again, as we said last week, is one of the three parts of the Trinity, the triune Godhead, triune, three in one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However you want to make that organization administration chart, they're one in the same, each having a different function as we see in Scripture. And I found it fascinating as I began to look at it. I said, how many times is the word, the name, the term Holy Spirit used? And depending on which version, New American, NIV, NLT, NASV, NIV, all of them, King James and Holy Yards. The average is 261 times in the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, that the name and the title of the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and other times it's the Spirit of the Lord in different cases. Also mentioned in the Old Testament, not clearly as much. We touched a little bit on that last week, and in the weeks to come we'll touch on it again as we are in the book of Acts, but we'll continue there, and we do it 56 times. These are for those of you who are what accountant oriented, you need numbers, okay? 56 times the name of the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 56. Remember, we've got 261. And I forgot to check my math on this, so I may be off a little bit, but keep with me. 57 times in the book of Acts. That blew me away. I've seen it. I've read it. Some of you have come up, are we going to talk about the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, when we get to that point where I feel that we need to, and it fits, not that it fits into the Scriptures, that didn't sound right, strike that, but where it ties into how we can understand what God is doing in the early church. And 112 times in Paul's epistles, okay? 112. Now, help me out here. We've got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What other letters did Paul write? Titus, Philemon, First and Second Timothy, First and Second Thessalonians, so we got to add two more. That's 10 letters. Seems like there was 11, but I can't remember. It's been years. But you get the point? Paul, the apostle, who we're learning about right now, refers to the Holy Spirit 112 times in his letters. And his letters, as we have them, are not very long. 4-6 chapters, as we break them down. 112 times he speaks of the Holy Spirit. Blew me away. And 36 times the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Old Testament. I love this one. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 51. This one just hit me, and it stuck with me. The account is Psalms 51. Go into the Old Testament. You go, I thought we were in Acts. We are. We'll get back there. Psalms 51. David has just committed the adulterous relationship he had with Bathsheba. He's confronted by the prophet Nathan. He comes to him and he says, hey, this has happened. And he takes him through that whole thing. And we're going to read the whole thing because I want you to catch the flow of it. Create in me, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, rather, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner part. You teach me wisdom in the innermost. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot all my iniquities. Can you hear David's cry? I've blown it. I'm wretched. I've made a mistake. And I deserve full wrath of God. But what's he cry out for? Mercy, forgiveness, justice. He does call for it. And he says, because my bones are waxed, they ache with the sin and the guilt that he had committed. But then look what he says. I love this. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Yahweh, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, create in me a new heart. Create in me, make me a new person. Have you ever asked that of yourself, of the Lord? Lord, change who I am. A beautician just months ago boards a ship. And did you really know, Debbie, when you were boarding that ship, what you were getting into? And it life changed you, didn't it? I mean, she just lit up again when I asked her. That's the joy. She's being created in the image of God from birth. Now she's got that passion to serve Jesus that's a fire. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a steady, faithful, consistent spirit within me. Keep me in line. Check me. Make sure I'm okay. Do not cast me, and this is the key verse here, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You see, even then in the psalmist, without the teachings that we have today to look back, he understood there was something more in him than God Almighty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There was something inside of him that showed conviction, that showed correction, that then he needed to have restoration. And he goes on through the rest of that and describes that. But as I saw that element, I thought one of the key things and characteristics, which you, if you will, about the Holy Spirit we touched on last week, we're going to touch on more tonight, is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us if we know Jesus is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the one who equips us to do the work of the Father and the bidding of the Father. And He also is the one who takes us when we make those choices that are wrong, and we make those decisions that are bad, that are contrary to the Father, and He convicts us. And then, get this, He brings us back in right relationship with the Father. Through the work of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, We cannot leave that out. We've got to have that in there. Jesus did His part. The Holy Spirit comes in as the comforter and as the guardian, as the caregiver, and for us, the corrector. And He takes what Jesus did and He applies that to our sin and our guilt, and we are forgiven. Does that make sense? What a powerful thought. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want me to be in right standing with them. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody? Brian, I think of you because of somebody in your past that you stood in the presence of that I know you have utmost respect. And I'll leave it at that. You want to know about it, you can talk to Brian. But he has the utmost respect for this individual. And I can only assume when Brian has conveyed the story of that meeting with me a few times that he's done it, there was a sense of honor and maybe even a sense, if I can say this, that you maybe not feel like you needed to be in his presence. Is that correct? Are you familiar with the story I'm talking about? Picture on Facebook. No, it's been a few years. Back stateside. Yeah, okay. This individual had a position quite a bit higher than mine, okay? And he had a position of power and of, as what we would say, definitely of importance and of influence. Now, I don't know, Brian, if you really felt that you didn't belong there, but there probably was that sense because of his position. Was that right? To some degree. And when we're in the presence of somebody who we see in a different level than us, oftentimes we go, whoa, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be sitting at the table with you, or I don't deserve to be participating in this event with you because I am not of your caliber or your degree. Does that make sense? And you know what? God says, I want you to fellowship with me. And the only way you and I can fellowship with Him is through the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. We've got to hold on to that. And then the Holy Spirit living in me, making me the person He wants me to be. Follow me? It's all together. I still then in myself feel I'm not worthy to be in His presence because He's holy, He's righteous, He's pure. I'm not. But what does David say? Create in me, make new in me. Clean heart. Why? So I can be in your presence. Because I don't want you to take the Holy Spirit from me. Remember last week we used the microphone cord as the illustration that Jesus, sometimes we think of Him and the Father, they're one, okay? And the Holy Spirit is kind of abstract, maybe out here, but it isn't a microphone and it's not functioning and useful unless we plug it in, right? Okay? The same thing. Once we're connected to the Holy Spirit and we're engaged with the Holy Spirit and He does His work in us, we will be different men and women. How do I know that? That's what we're going to look at this week. Acts or Galatians. You're going, I thought we were in Acts. We are. It ties in. Galatians is where we're going to be tonight. As we look at this aspect of the Holy Spirit working in my life. And how does He do it? It's amazing how He does this. You see, when we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God indwelling us, we live a different life. Okay? Kids that are in the room. Actually, I guess it applies to all of us, but we'll look at the high school and younger kids. When mom and dad are present in the house, do you act and behave a different way than sometimes when they're not in the house? Don't raise your hand, Lala, and say yes, okay? We don't want to think that of you. Wesley, don't go there, all right? But sometimes when mom and dad are around, we do what we know we're supposed to do, right? We do our homework. We listen to the music that we're supposed to. Is any of you feeling bad? No, I'm just teasing. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. But you get my point. But when mom and dad leave, we do what we want. Well, okay, up until a certain point, sometimes. Is that right to do that or wrong to do that? It's wrong, isn't it? It's wrong. There's an English saying that goes like this. When the cat's away, anybody know how that finishes? Mice will play. That's right, kitty. The mice will play. The cat's not in the house. The mice will run all over that they want. Because as soon as the cat comes in, what's that cat going to do? Go after those mice. Get rid of them. And you see, when we live by the Spirit, recognizing the Holy Spirit lives in me as a child of God, my life should be different, shouldn't it? And that's why the psalmist cries out, don't take away. There's an emphatic in the Hebrew there. Don't remove from me the Holy Spirit. He's pleading with God. I have sinned. I have done. I have the cat. I was the mouse that played. And now the cat's here and I know I'm wrong. He says, I don't need that. Look at what he says as Paul writes to the church in Galatia, who's struggling with some of this. Chapter 5, the book of Galatians, beginning in verse 16. He's just finished telling them, y'all need to love. That's the Texas in me, which I'm not from Texas. I've just visited. But you all need to get along. Y'all need to love one another. Y'all need to do what I want you to do in Jesus Christ. He's just finished telling them about that because they've experienced in their lives freedom in Jesus Christ from spiritual slavery and from idolatry worship and all of the things they've been doing in Galatia. He's saying, you're free of that. Now live in the Spirit. And verse 16 goes as this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Let's stop there. When the cat's away, the mouse will play. You see it here? My sinful nature, who I am as a human being, I want to do what pleases me and satisfies me. Period. Period. Anybody in this room argue that you're the same way as I am in that? Anybody? We're all the same, aren't we? Because we all are human beings. We all have that struggle of self. Okay? And he says, I want to live by the Spirit, but my flesh isn't willing. Remember a couple weeks ago when Jim shared in his testimony that Melissa, I think it was, if I got the story right, he came home and you go, what did you do with my husband? Was there a change in your man? Major change. I didn't know him, but in the story I can tell, there was a huge transformation. And she's going, what happened to my man? What did you do with Jim Lawson? And if I remember it almost right, he said something in effect, I'm not who I used to be. And you see, that's the element here. He's saying, live by the Spirit, not by the flesh desires. Not by what you want, what you think will desire. Because many of us have had things in our lives that we thought would satisfy, and they didn't satisfy. They didn't last. And we have to realize the only thing that satisfies, the only thing, is Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. Period. End of statement. Nothing else satisfies. You know I love coffee, God's brew, and you know I love chocolate. And thank you, by the way, for the lasagna last week. That was amazing. The best lasagna I've ever had. No tomatoes in it at all. It was awesome. You know I love chocolate and I love coffee. But you get this. It doesn't satisfy. Doesn't. It may for just a moment. And I know I'm weird. I like Hershey's chocolate bar. I know I live in Europe and I should like Milka and Lindt and all the other ones. They're okay. I like Hershey's. It's wax. I know. I've been told. It's okay. I still like it. But here's the thing. Even Hershey's doesn't satisfy me. Why? Because even though they try, it's not 100% pure. Even 100% pure cocoa isn't in anything anymore. But 100% of Jesus living in me through the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? I can be satisfied. It isn't me, it's Him. And when He's doing it in me, get ready. Because I believe that Debbie is about to embark on more of an adventure and excursion than the Logos ship gave you. That's my prayer. My prayer is that she will come back and give us a report, and she is not going to be the same Debbie. Her family may be going, what in the world is she thinking? But you know what? It's about serving Jesus and Jesus only. Whether it's in the Bahamas, kind of a rough place to serve Jesus, I might say, or whether it's serving Jesus at your high school campus, or whether it's serving Jesus in your home, with all of those messy dishes that just never go away. And one more day I got to do them. Do them for Jesus. He satisfies. He satisfies. Let's go on. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. A couple weeks ago, a month ago or more, we talked about that. Remember, under the law, the rules that kept them bound. And he says, you're no longer count by the law. You're in the Spirit. Now live in the Spirit. And that's what he's saying. Get rid of that. Verse 19, for the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Now, you know what? We could stop there. And I bet we could come up with a pretty lengthy list of them. But let's look what God says, because I think that's where we need to look. What does he say? These sins are sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy. The list doesn't stop there, does it? He continues. He says drunkenness, orgies, and the likes. Modern day translations of the likes, dot, 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 etc., etc. Because you know what? Mankind, we'll come up with the weirdest, wackiest things. All for myself. He says, no, that's living by the flesh. That's living to fulfill your desire, which he just got done in 16 and 17 saying, I don't want to do. Okay? Paul says it in another one of his letters, I do the very things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Why is it? Right here. Because he's living in the flesh. He's fulfilling my wants and my needs and my desires. And I'm not putting Jesus first. You know, the acronym JOY, J-O-Y. Anybody know what it's been translated to? J stands for what? Jesus, right, Lala? What does O stand for? Others. And why? Because if you is the bottom one, yourself, if you're giving to Jesus first and foremost, and you're giving to others, you fulfilled the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as you what? Yourself. By the time you get done with that, I have no time for me. But I have full joy and satisfaction because I've done what Jesus wanted me to do. I've loved others. I've loved Him. And I'm in the track for Him. Does that make sense? You see the connection? It's Old Testament law has been done away with, but the bondage of sin in the flesh is still there. And He says, I want you to be free of it because these are the things that the world offers to you. Now, we're not going there. But look at that list. Verse 19, verse 20, and part of verse 21. Does that describe the world in which you live in? Live in. I didn't say involved in. I pray you're not. Okay? I don't see that there's really a whole lot that's left out of there. You don't believe me? Turn on the television. Turn on the radio. Listen to some of the local radio. And you're going, what? Really? Serious? Read the press. Hear the press. All of these things are happening. And you go, well, they don't happen really where I'm at. Yeah, they do. They happen around you. You may not see them. Praise God. You may not be involved with them. Praise God. Because the reality is, this is the world we live in. It's messed up. Messed up. If you've ever made a cake, you've ever made anything, baked anything, you put usually flour in most everything, right? And usually then there's a little bit of salt, maybe an eighth of a teaspoon or a quarter of a teaspoon, and then maybe an eighth of a teaspoon of baking soda. This is an English version or American recipe. So that would be like 0.2 milligrams of this, you know, follow what I'm saying? Little tiny bits of it. Then when you mix the flour with the baking soda and the salt and maybe something else in there, and they're all white. Have you ever noticed that when you're baking, unless you're using whole wheat, then that's brown. But if you're using white flour, white sugar, white salt, and white baking soda, once you mix them together, how easy is it to get that salt back out? Can't, can you? You can't. It's in there. And that's kind of how this world is all mixed up. When you live in the world and you are a part of this life, it's in you. And he says, I want you to be separate from it, sanctified, set apart, chosen for a purpose and a reason. And that's what he calls us to do. And then let's finish verse 21. I warn you. This is an emphatic. He's not just going, oh boy, I hope you listen to me. I hope you'll do what I say. This is that time where he says, listen up. Hear me. Ever had a parent tell you that, kids? I have. listen to me. You know, it's when they grab you by the cheek and they look in your eye and they go, are you listening to me? You know, and they want your attention. He's doing that. He's grabbing the church of Galatia almost physically, if he could, through this letter. He's grabbing and he goes, listen to me. I'm warning you. What's he warning them? Look what he's warning them. As I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. A life apart from Jesus Christ means an eternity spent in hell. Period. No choice. Because you've made that choice. Because you've chose to follow your own desires. And you're going, wow, what a downer. What a downer message. I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We are. Because you see, that's the flesh living in me when I do that. And then look at this. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, what's the first word in your translation that you have? But. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready, Lily? Have you ever asked your parents for anything and then they say something and then they go, but, then there's an addition to it? Yeah, that's what he does here, doesn't he? Look what he says. This isn't that kind of but caveat at the end, like, but bad. Look what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit living in you, not the world, but the fruit of the Spirit is, not one thing, not two, follow, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine things that when the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are full of the Holy Spirit, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be somebody I want to be around. Right? That's something about them. And you get it all. It's not today on Tuesday I'm going to have this one and that one. No. When the Holy Spirit, remember, He's the part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has all resources, all everything available to Him, all power, right? Jesus said that to His disciples. All power is given to me, and when I leave, I will send you the Comforter, and He, gives me goosebumps, He will live in you. And you will still have access to that same power. Imagine the lamp over here, the miner's cap on the burning lamp. If we unplug that, it's a nice looking lamp. Okay, I think it's nice looking. You may not, but I think it's a nice looking lamp. Reminds me of my good buddy Dave. But that's the thing. It's a lamp. But it's ineffective as a lamp until what? You plug it in. And you plug it into the power and the source. And as long as we paid the bill, you've got power. And it's working. And it's functioning. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, Him living in me and indwelling me, I will be this. Read this with me out loud. Would you read this with me? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ellie, you want to be around anybody that's like that? I do. I want to be around people like that. Why? Because if you're living like that, guess what? That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And compare this to what you see in the verses just above it in 19, 20, and 21. Who do you want to be around? Who's going to infect you in a positive way? And who's going to infect you and affect you in a negative way? 19, 20, and 21 are negative. None of us really want that when we sit down and talk about it. But we want what we see in verse 22 and verse 23. How do you get that? How do you get that? You don't get it because the fruit of my works, the fruit of my good behavior, the labor of my doing, it doesn't say that, does it? What's it say? The fruit of the Spirit. Where is the Spirit? Living inside of me. And when He lives inside of me, good things come out of me. Things that make a difference. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Man, if I practice self-control, can you imagine? That would be awesome. It would be, I'll be honest. It'd be awesome if I practice that. I don't. Because sometimes I don't live fully in the Spirit. And that's why David cries out, create in me that desire, that heart to have that relationship with you. Why? Because he wants what the Spirit gives. The Spirit only gives good. Only gives good. Let's go on. And against such there is no law. Again, bound by the law? Nope, freed by the law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passion and desire. Follow that. Passion and desire. If you have a passion for something and your passion is so consuming, that's all you think about. All you think about. What follows? What's it say? Your desires. You see, when you want something bad enough and you labor over it and you want it, you desire it so much, the natural reaction is your desire comes out for that. And when you think, I can do this and this and this in my own strength and I don't need God's help, I don't need the Holy Spirit to control my mouth, I'm doing a good job on this. Wait just about 2 seconds. You're probably going to blow it. And if you don't, wait 3. Okay? Well, because you can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. They go together. You and the Holy Spirit together can and will be victorious in life. Why? Because if your passion is towards Jesus and what Jesus wants for you, the Holy Spirit's going to take you there. He's going to lead you there. He will take you to that place. And just as he did with the psalmist, he cleanses him, he purifies him. And you're thinking, but David was a wretched guy. Can you imagine David on internet, social media? Ooh, I don't want anything to do with him. He's a murderer and an adulterer and I don't know about you, but it reads like 2016. Doesn't it? But if my passion is Jesus, if my passion is what God wants, if my passion is to know this Bible, to experience Jesus in every part of my life, to get rid of 19 and 20 and 21 verses and that behavior and replace it with 22 and 23 behavior, guess what's going to happen? Good things are going to come out of my life. Doesn't mean easy. You're still going to have difficulties. You're still going to have struggles because you still live in this world. 19, 20, 21, right? But if we live by the Spirit, in the Spirit, with the Spirit through me creates those 9 fruits that are beautiful. Because I've never met anybody that possessed these that was not beautiful. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Why? Because that's the Spirit living in them. And when we see that, we know it's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and my passion, my desire to love Him, my desire to serve Him, my desire to follow Him, my desire to be changed makes that happen. And if we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, not my working, but through the power of Spirit, work towards that direction, guess what happens? Major changes. To when people look at you, they go, there's something different about you, Carl. I like what I see. I like what you're doing. I love how you work with that. I love how you deal with that. Boy, I don't get it when you're going through struggles and crisis and you're experiencing joy and peace and heartache. And you go through it and Jesus walks you through it and you go, you know what, it's okay. Because I know He's got me. He's got me. Because I wrestle with this. How does the world live without Jesus? I've been told, well, Jesus is your crutch. Hey, great crutch to have. You got a problem with that? I'm a broken person. I need help. I'll take that. Because to me, that's not a negative. That's a positive. Because I need Jesus working on me. I need Jesus in my life. Because you know, if I ask Julie, she's going to give a hearty amen. He needs to work in me. He needs to change me. Because I am not the man I used to be. But here's the other part. I'm not the man I want to be. And I hope that you're not the man or the woman you used to be. I hope you're not the man and woman
that you were, but that you want to be who God wants you to be. How do you get there? Get the passion and the desire to follow hard after Jesus. Love Jesus more than you love anything. Love people more than you love yourself. And you're going to see God do wonderful things in your life. Verse 23, or 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wow. I have been blessed with very long legs. It is really hard for my bride to sometimes walk with me. I don't understand it. I walk fine. I can keep a good pace. I can outwalk her on that little people mover in the airport. You know what I'm talking about? We just flew into Frankfurt Terminal A. That thing is as long as Frankfurt is long. I mean, it goes forever. It's got more people movers than anything. I can outwalk her on that. What's wrong with her? Why can't she walk with me? Why can't she stay in step? Because she's not me. And that's a good thing. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. But you know what? This is the cool part about the Holy Spirit. Kitty, the Holy Spirit walks with you. As a child of God, He walks with you. Does He walk with you at my pace or your pace? Your pace. Right where you are. Little ones at your feet. Problems going on. He's walking you. And you know what He invites you and I to do? Walk with Him in His steps. Not yours. Don't do it in your own. That's what He's saying. Walk in step with the Spirit. Because if He's going this way and you're going that way, how's it going to work for you? You're going to return back to 19, 20, and 21. But if He's walking this way and He's walking away from debauchery and from orgies and from sexual immorality and drunkenness and evilness and wickedness and dissension and hate speech and all of those other things, He's walking this way, He's walking away from it, walk with Him. Go with Him. It was 5 years ago. No, 6 years ago now. Wow. 6 years ago, this little boy was 3 years old. And I'm walking in the mall just about this time, 6 years ago. I'll probably leak awesomeness. And we're walking in a mall. And this little boy had come into my life. And he's three. And I got long arms, too. They hang down on the side when I walk. Okay? And all of a sudden, this little three-year-old boy wanted to walk with me, and he reached his little hand up into my big hand, and that little hand just, like, melted my heart. Like butter. And I became putty inside, and this little three-year-old hand, whose little boy's name is Garrett, who's my grandson, grabbed hold of my hand and held on, and he walked with me. I now, today, get to be that guy's papa. That's my grandson. And he tried at three to walk in step with me. And it was so funny to watch. But you know, the image is that your hand is little and your steps just aren't big enough. And the Holy Spirit says, would you let me walk and carry you? And you can walk with me, but walk in my steps. Go where I go. Look at what I look at. Think about what I think about. Meditate on what I meditate. Live in the Spirit. Spirit, why? It's going to keep you from the things of the world, isn't it? And kids, when I told you when mom and dad are not there and you do your own thing, stop it. Because the Holy Spirit's there. And if you know Jesus, He's watching you. You can't hide from Him. He's with you. Walk in the Spirit, just as my little Garrett did. He walked with Papa. And when you walk in the Spirit, there's joy. Oh, wait a minute. There's what else? Peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I mean, isn't that what Paul was just writing in the earlier part of 16 and 17? I struggle with self-control. He says, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. What's the connection to Acts? Well, Other than it's mentioned 112 times in those few chapters of the book of Acts, how about the fact that Paul is telling the church there, as we looked at in chapter 19, live in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Go back to Acts chapter 19, just real quickly, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 19, he's in Ephesus. It's a rough place. They're living for themselves. In fact, you don't believe me, go home this week and finish chapter 19 on your own and then read the letter to the church in Ephesus. They're a messed up bunch of people. Wait a minute. So are we. And you see, when you look at this, he talks to him, and as the Holy Spirit comes upon these people, what happens? We looked at it. Extraordinary things happen, but they begin to grow in their relationship to God, don't they? Paul pours into their life. He reduplicates himself. He disciples them. He trains them in the Word of God. He lives life with them and he teaches them. And then all of a sudden, remember last week, there was chaos and confusion, and he takes those 12 men and he pulls them away. He takes them out of the world. He sets them aside and he works man to man with them, and he pours into them, and the Holy Spirit moved. Want the Holy Spirit to move in your life? I'm coming to understand a little bit of this. I don't get it, because as Tim and I were talking today, God's thoughts are not my thoughts. Anybody agree with that? I mean, I know you agree with it that His aren't mine, but do you agree that they're not your thoughts too? And God's ways, the Scripture says, are not what? Your ways. What do we need to do? Go His way. Get on board with Him. And engage with Him. And that's what Paul is teaching them here in chapter 19. Get into the Word. Dig in. And just as he says so beautifully to a young man, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed. Stand up for what's right. Biblically. Not what I think. Biblically. Defend. Biblically. Honor. Biblically. Live biblically. How do you do that? I think you live by the Spirit. That's how I do it. Well, let me edit that. That's how I try to do it. Because sometimes Jeff gets in the way. And the flesh gets in the way. And my pride gets in the way. And my arrogance gets in the way. You follow what I'm saying? And if you can say, yeah, you're right about that on your part, you might even be able to say you're right about that on your part. Because you and I need each other. As iron sharpens iron, so we need to sharpen one another. How do we do it? We live by the Spirit. We walk by faith. Not by our own sight, not by our own desires, but by faith. Believing in the One who perfects us. And one day when we stand before God, what amazing day that's going to be when we stand before God, And all of the things we've done, bad or wiped away, and all the things we've done good, you know what we get to do with them? I just love this. We get to lay them back down at Jesus' feet, or God's feet, actually. And it's like, this was so cool. I walked by faith, and this is what happened. I lived by faith, and this is what happened. I obeyed a call, Debbie, and I'm going to go to Bahamas because by faith I believe God wants me to do it. Amazing. You're not, okay? And I don't mean that in a mean way. But Jesus in you is, isn't He? Because He wants to use you. He wants to use us. But we have to live in the Spirit. And I really believe if we begin to get a hold of that, we as a body can and will radically live differently. And I think people will look at us differently and go, there is something different. It must be in the coffee. And we'll go, no, but you can have a cup. What is it in? It's in here. And when we take this and we do this with it, we hide it in our hearts. What does the psalmist tell us? Thy word, is King James, have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against God. People 19, 20, and 21 told us that's the sin, that's the world. 22 and 23 says this is the Bible living in me, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As you go this week, I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me this week. Be ready. I don't know how he's going to do it, but be ready, because I believe he wants so desperately to have fellowship with you and I. He wants so desperately for you and I to be plugged in and engaged and connected with him, because he is the source. As the worship team comes up, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I know in my own heart that I do things that displease you, and I ask that you would forgive me. I desperately want what I'm saying, but I, like Paul, sometimes struggle with it. But God, you desire so much to be a part of my life, to be the leader in my life, to be the director of my life, and to be the power in my life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would do that. I ask, Holy Spirit, that I would get out of the way. I would stop my doing, and I would do what you want me to do. That I would surrender my life to you, my heart to you, my will to you. And I pray for my friends here tonight that they too would desire that. That you, Holy Spirit, would move and work in our hearts, in our midst, in and amongst us, in and through us, to make us the men and women that possess and demonstrate and do the fruit of the Spirit. May we live according to your word, according to your plan, and according to your way. And Father, when we do that, may you receive the glory and the honor, because we have fulfilled what you desired of us, Father, because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, Holy Spirit, if anything I've said in error, may you erase it from their hearts, from our minds. But may we hold only to the truth of your word that changes our life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.